The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap episode of the Century Tournament of Champions. And joining me to break it all down, it's Jonathan Coachman, the coach. What up, coach?
You know, my tweet about 2 hours ago did not age very well that I put out there that Justin Thomas was my pick to click. He was my winner. And you could never count a winner in the second round, Rick. Ever.
That is true. He's got plenty of golf left ahead of him. And coach, I hope you like birdies because it was an absolute birdie fest. Let me put this into context for you a bit. Friday's second round, 68.29 scoring average was the lowest single round average at Kapalua in 11 years. That's from Justin Ray. And there are more golfers at 10 under or better through two rounds than we've ever seen at this event, coach. It is prime scoring conditions. Pars are not going to get it done.
Golf is not this easy, and I think this is what I love and respect, Rick, about these golfers that come to this tournament. And we talked about on the preview, right? How many guys are coming for a vacation, and how many guys are coming to win the golf tournament? I think it's pretty obvious. There's a lot of dudes that want to win this golf tournament because everybody, you look at the names from top all the way down to, what, T17 is 9 under par. I mean, come on. This is incredible, incredible golf.
And some of the guys that looked a little rusty on Thursday, they shook that off real quick and got it going on Friday. But the man atop the leaderboard all by himself, Harris English, 14 under par, shoots rounds of 65, 67 to get there. He's two shots clear of a chase pack full of great names. But here we go. Harris English hasn't won on the PGA Tour since 2013. This is going to be the fifth time he's held a 36-hole lead. I mean, how do we feel about his chances trying to close this thing out?
Well, he was my lean for this podcast this week. Then my other podcast that I do, Cash Out with the Coaches, I have him as my lock of the week for a top 20 selection. This is a guy that's really been trending, and he's such a quiet player. He's very unassuming, but he went out today playing beside Justin Thomas, and on the first nine, it was very even. But then on the back nine, he kept making birdies. He shoots a 67. I think he's got the juice. I think he's got the game to finish. But here's the thing, Rick. How's he going to play on the weekend when all these big names are chasing him down for the first time in, what you said, in 8 years?
Yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see how his game holds up in the wind with all the big dogs right on his tail going into the final 36.
Yeah, you know what? He's got some lurkers behind him. We're going to get into those guys in a second. But Harris English, I mean, if you're not paying attention, his 2020 season was phenomenal. He was seventh in strokes gained total, which if you want to argue, he's the seventh best player on the PGA Tour last year. You're not going to get too much of an argument from me on that. And he won the B-Flight, coach. He won that event, or he finished second in that event that DJ won by 10 shots, the Northern Trust. So Harris English might feel like he's owed one from the PGA Tour here.
Isn't it funny how we forget? We'll look at a guy and how much money they've made. Well, really, they had that good of a year because they have these second place finishes that get completely overshadowed by a guy like DJ. And I call him cash stackers, and that's what Harris was last year. He was stacking cash, but he never really put himself in a position to win. I think this is probably the best position with his game and on the leaderboard that he's been in. Maybe in the last 8 years, I would have to look it up, but certainly in the last 2 years as he was just fighting to get his card back on the PGA Tour. But now he looks like he's in winning form. And I think that's very, very important for him.
If he's going to win this golf tournament, he's going to have to earn it, because the chase pack immediately behind him is Daniel Berger, Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas, and Ryan Palmer. JT, this is interesting, Coach, because he was shared the 18-hole lead with Harris English. He goes out in 4-under par 32, and I'm looking at my phone going, it's over. Like this guy's about to run away with this. I know everybody's going low. He's got those two juicy par fives on the back. And then he played the back nine at even par, and he's obviously still in this thing, but he's going to feel like he left a lot of strokes out on the back nine.
We've seen this several times from Justin Thomas over his career, and I think Justin Leonard even said it on the broadcast. They showed the most wins by a player under the age of 30, and Justin Thomas has 13, and Jordan Spieth, remarkably, we forget, tied with 11. But Justin Leonard said, it's not always pretty how Justin Thomas gets it done. He's one of those guys like Jon Rahm who can hit a shank and laugh about it, and it's in his game, and then he can come back. And I think he's the best bounce-back golfer on the entire PGA Tour, meaning what I was thinking as he was coming home, and his driver was going left, and his driver was going right, hitting it off the heel and going this way and that way. I thought, tomorrow he's going to come out, and he's going to post a 64 and shoot a 9-under. He's going to be at the top of the leaderboard. Because how many times, Rick, have we seen him do that? So many times in his career. He is a streaky golfer. He's red hot when he gets it going. And I think right now, even though he's two back, this is probably the worst he can shoot on this course. And he still shot a 4-under 69.
That's the thing. Even his good rounds look like he left some he could have squeezed some more juice out of it, and this looks like a horrible round, and he's 4-under par. I mean, that's how good he is. He always seems to leave a couple of strokes out there, which is kind of a good thing. A couple of rounds of the day I want to talk about here, because there were some big names going low. 60 rounds of 65 from Daniel Berger, Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson. There are some guys that have some ability to go low and chase you down. We're just seeing flashes of DJ, who, you know, shot a 71 on Thursday, Coach, flips the script, gets the putter going a bit on Friday, shoots a 65. He went out early, but made a run and flew up the leaderboard.
Classic DJ afterwards, too, talking to my boy Todd Lewis. And basically he's asking, did you play a lot better today since you shot a lot better? He's like, no. I just made a lot of putts. And yesterday I didn't make any putts. He always has a way of making it very, very simple for a guy that is the most dynamic player on the PGA Tour. When you're talking three wins and three runner-ups in his last seven events, you had to know that after he kind of sleptwalked through a 71 on Thursday that he would get it going today, and that's exactly what he did. So whenever he's lurking, you know everybody else around him knows that he's there, and today he set that 10-under very early on, and right. So name was there the entire afternoon as the leaders were going through their rounds.
It's funny. He didn't even really putt all that well. He was barely a positive putter on Friday. He led the field in strokes gained tee to green. Just the classic DJ stuff. And then Xander Schauffele making a run. 7-under 66 on Friday. He's going to be three shots back. He's in a tie for sixth as we head into the weekend. And Coach, I saw you tweeting this out a little bit. There was a lot of concern about Xander coming into the week. You know, the COVID diagnosis a couple of weeks ago, he said that he was playing a lot of Call of Duty. That's how he spent his time. He looked at a couple of books, said, nah, that's not for me. I'm going to play some PlayStation instead. He gave us some concerns about being tired walking around Kapalua. Did not look tired on Friday.
He's a perfect example of why it's so hard to pick who's going to have a good golf course. You know what I mean? It's like if we pick 60 to 65%, we're having an amazing year, because I really thought, and you said it, I put it out on social media when I read that other tweet about how tired he got from just walking a few holes in his practice round. So I was like, how is that going to translate when he gets into the tournament? But we're only 36 holes in. How's it going to translate when he puts a third day on those legs, a fourth day on those legs? Today, 4-under in his final four holes, and that bomb on 18 for the eagle to really put him in position. He's my one-and-done pick this week, because he always figures out a way on this golf course to have a high finish. I don't know if he's going to win, but I like the position that he's in.
One of the other rounds of 66 was from John Rahm, who, coach, I got to tell you, now that he's rocking Travis Mathieu and the Jordans, I do a double take every time I see him. I swear it's hard to recognize that that's actually John Rahm. It is. And he's out there shooting a 66 on Friday, which he did a lot of head scratching on Thursday. It was a 3-under round of 70. He hit a couple of shots and kind of looked a little bit confused, but started to figure it out. And this is what happens. You give these guys 4 guaranteed rounds on a course that's very gettable, and you're going to see low scores.
We made so much on the previous show of the fact that he changed all of his equipment. That why would he do that when he's having such a great last 18 months to 2 years? Well, we're seeing now today he's playing very well with that new equipment. He played better than yesterday. And this is how John Rahm plays. He slowly gets into the round, and then he's much like JT Rick. He's a lot like DJ, that he can throw a 63 or a 64 out there, no problem. So when you say lurking, he's a guy that I'm looking at that could definitely have a great Saturday. So what is he, 4 back right now? So he's in that group of 10 under, so he's in a T10. Yeah. So 4 back, but just 2 back of second place. So right. I feel like he's in a great spot.
Yeah, I think that's the big story here. So Harris English is 2 shots clear, but if you want to talk from second place, there are 16 guys within 2 shots. There are 21 within 3. I mean, this is just absolutely stacked. And when you get scoring conditions like we've seen in the first 2 days, I don't know how many people are at. What are we thinking, coach? The 10 unders are probably still in this. The 9 unders, how far back can we go?
I think that's as far as you can go, because then you're talking about 21 guys.
That's the key.
So are the 800s going to leapfrog 21 dudes? I don't think so. I mean, you'd have to go – I mean, you're starting 6 back. You'd have to go and – say you shoot a 65. What is Harris English going to shoot? He can't shoot over par. He's hitting too good. So even a 65 at 8-under, if he shoots a 3, you're still only gaining 5 shots. You're still not even catching him with that. So and then you talk about all the other guys. So somebody in that top 21 – is going to fire a 66 tomorrow. So the 8-unders are going to have to do that or better. So I think the 9-unders are still in it. I think the 8-unders are playing for a paycheck.
The problem is it's not the number of strokes, it's the number of guys you have to pass. And one of them's going to go low, and you're going to have, or 2 of them or 3 of them are going to go low, and you're going to have to do something crazy. So looking at the odds heading into the weekend, we've got co-favorites, Harris English, Justin Thomas, each at 5-1, Xander Schauffele, 8-1, Dustin Johnson at 10. Are any of these guys or deeper gathering interest from you, coach?
Well, I mean, Vegas has really started to figure it out, haven't they, Rick? Because even though you're starting 2 back, it's they don't have any confidence in Harris English over JT. He's basically spotting him 2 shots at the same odds.
Yeah.
So I mean, if I was looking at these odds and where I would put my money for the weekend on who to win, I would put it on Harris English and say, okay, come and catch me at those odds. But this is why I don't like picking winners. Because you don't get a return on your investment. And in this type of scenario, I've got to beat 20 other guys. I wouldn't lay any money on any winners, but if I had to, I would put it on JT.
And I did misquote these odds a hair. I had to click refresh. So those guys are 4.5-1, not 5-1. Justin Thomas and Harris English. Producer Jacob doing a great job. He's got it loaded up on the screen so you can see it. It's an interesting point, coach, because a 2-shot lead, if this was a head-to-head, Justin Thomas and Harris English, obviously it's not. As good as Justin Thomas is, he is not a stroke per round better than Harris English. He's just not. Now, anything can happen over the course of 2 days, but the law of averages say if you're going to bet one of those two, it's English. So I like that take a lot. Further down the board a little bit, if you want to get a hair of value, I like these guys, coach, that are hitting it well from tee to green, that are struggling putting, and if I can find a hot putting day or two on the weekend, they can fly up the leaderboard. And the interesting names that pop off there, Colin Morikawa leads this field in strokes gained tee to green. He's losing 2 strokes putting. He is 10-1. He's a player. I think that's where I would be interested.
He's got to figure it out. And I liked his interview afterwards. I take a lot from interviews after rounds. I don't know if you do, but I do, because I like to see where the attitude is at. I like to see where their confidence is at. And Morikawa was, I need to play better. I need to putt better. I need, you know, and he's come out here because he understands that in the fall, when he had these guys going to the Masters and playing the U.S. Open, and he had just won the PGA Championship. And then by the end of the fall, we're not talking about him anymore. And I think that pissed him off a little bit, to be honest with you. So I loved his interview, and I also loved the interview of Ryan Palmer afterwards. He said, I'm in a good headspace. My game is as good as it's been in a very, very long time, and I love this golf course. Those three things make me think that Ryan Palmer believes that he's got the game to win, and he's in a tie for second as well.
Ryan Palmer, back-to-back 67s. He was actually, when I came on the Early Edge Coach, he was my top, I had a top 20. I should have raised expectations for Ryan Palmer. He's in second place. He is 20-1 to win this golf tournament in that Chase pack. So yeah, two shots back, 20-1. Pretty crazy to see.
Oh, your picks are looking really good so far. And so M squared, I know, right? You feel great on Friday. By Sunday, you're like, what happened? Right. M squared has Kokrak in his head to head as well. And Kokrak was having a great day before him and Billy Horschel decided they would chunk it together on 15. What happened on 15 today, by the way?
There was a couple guys who did that.
Oh, yeah. Joaquin Niemann did it. Yep. Horschel did it. Kokrak did it. I mean, if you went down in that valley, it was a very, very hard shot to even get it up and down for a par. So Kokrak is. Was he? He's at 9 under. So the bets on the Early Edge are looking decent right now for you and M squared.
Well, we've got a lot of golf to play. That's a good thing and a bad thing, Coach. Sometimes there's a lot of holes left to play out there, but we'll be back after each round, breaking it all down. That right there, that's the coach. You can find him on Twitter at the Coach Rules. You can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been the First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.